This is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Mem Aleph of Sefer Yecheskel, chapter 41 of the book of Yecheskel. Yesterday's chapter took us a long time. It was a long chapter, and it was not one that I feel that I was as clear about as I would have liked, and I took a long time in explicating it, or in at least presenting it. I hope today, at the very least, to be more brief and to make sure to stay within a half hour, if not less. It will be a continuation of a description of the future Beit HaMikdash as Yechezkel envisions it, but in doing so, or in expressing it, we'll have to notice some of the other issues that come up about that future house, one of the central ones being to what extent all of this must happen in the future. Read something that I mentioned yesterday a lot and perhaps took too much time on, so I will do it less today, but to what extent is this what will necessarily happen? To what extent is it Yechezkel's vision of what was happening at the time? And some of the measurements will be relevant there. So, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayivieni al Heichal. So now we're going to the Heichal itself, to the structure, the Bayit itself. Vayamor ha'ilim sheishamot rochav mipo, v'sheishamot rochav mipo, rochav ha'ohel. So he measures the wall, Rashi thinks. Uovi ha'kotel ha'ichal sheben ha'ichal la'ulam. You're going to have the wall from the ulam into the Heichal. There's going to be a wall. It's going to be six amot on either side. Now the JPS thinks that it's the depth of the door, right? It's going to be six amot in the sort of entrance way. Rochav ha'ulam, Rashi says, rochav ha'ohel means rochav ha'ulam shehu u'orcho shel ohel, the shel hechal. It's the ulam was towards the length, the depth of the ohel was the length, what we call the width of the ohel was the length of the hechal, because the ohel is longer than wide, and therefore, I mean, it's placed on the width of the Beit HaMikdash. It's like an entranceway, so it's a wide entranceway, but it's not as deep. So the depth is called the width, and that was going to be six amot. V'chitvot ha'petach, I'm sorry, pasuk bet, v'rochav ha'petach eser amot, v'chitvot ha'petach chamesh amot mipo, v'chamesh amot mipo. It was really 20, Rashi assumes that it was 20 amot long, and therefore the opening to the Heichal was 10 amot, so on either side of the opening there were five amot. Chamesh amot mipo v'yamot orko arba'im amah, v'rochav esrim amah. And then he measures its length is 40 amah, and its width is 20 amah, and that is presumably the English says the hole, meaning the heichal, right? The heichal. Suppose again, uva lifnima, vayamar yela petach shtayim amot, v'hapetach sheish amot, v'rochav hapetach sheva amot. Now he comes into the inner room, and there, on the sides of the petach, you have two amot as an opening, at the depth of the opening, at the entrance of the opening is two amot. And then the opening itself is six amot in across, and its width, because it's got a little bit of an extra on either side, its width is seven amot, right? Rashi thinks that, I'm sorry, petach shesh amot is that it's six amot high, because Rashi, blah, 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 says that seven amot. So that's the opening. Pasuk dala v'yamar larko esrim ama v'rochav esrim ama al pnei haichal. So then he says he measures the depth, which is 20 amot, and the width of the inner end of this heichal is going to be 20 amot. And he says to me, this is the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So we're already going down all past the heichal and seeing the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Pasuk hey, vayamud ki rabayit sheish amot, v'rochav etzela arba amot saviv saviv v'bayit saviv. So the walls of the heichal were 6 amot, right, 6 amot thick, which is again 9 to 12 feet. So these are extremely thick walls. Verochav hatzela, and then there are these side chambers. So Rashi points out that there are these ta'im, they're called tzla'im, but Rashi doesn't comment on why they're called that. He just seems to think that they have three different names. There's ta, there's tzela, and there's one, and there's lishka, and they're all sort of the same thing, side rooms. But the question is, but one of the things we'd want to understand, if we were going to fully understand this, is there any differentiation among them? If there isn't, we then would want to understand why each kind of word is used. Rochav etzel arba amot saviv saviv the bayit saviv, and so then the width of these tzla'im are four amot, but all the way around the bayit. That's la'ot tzela itzela shalosh shloshim pa'amim. So these tzla'ot, these chambers, these recesses, were 33 of them around. Uva'ot bakir ashel habayit. Let's load saviv saviv liot achuzim lo yuchazim bakir habayit. So they were projections in the Beit HaMikdash's wall that helped support them, so that it's not the Beit HaMikdash itself that's supporting them, right? That's what the JPS has. And Rashi points out that in Bayit Sheni there were 38 of them. So Rashi says that he thinks that the Ta'im in the north and the south, each one of them were 12 Amah, and that's 60 Amah for 5 Ta'im. And then there were 5 walls of 5 Amah, and he figures it all out, how they all fit. And you don't want the kir of the Heichal to be the actual support for these side chambers. V'rachava v'nasava l'mala l'mala, and then it spreads out and it goes up higher and higher. L'tzla'ot, l'tzla'kim usav abayit l'mala, because it sort of wound around and it had second floor. So if you said l'abayit, al-kein rochav l'abayit l'mala v'chein etachtona yaleh ala oyona l'tichona. So there's a, on the side chambers, there's a passageway that's winding up, and it goes from story to story, so that it, and it gets wider as it goes up, and that's how you get up from the bottom step to the top, by this passageway. So that's the way the Targum seems to have it, that's the way the English seems to have it. The Tzla'ot, and Rashi says that as well, the Tzla'ot were holchin umarchivin lemala, and it would sort of go up and spread out, so it was wider at the top than it was at the bottom, and the bottom served as the support for it. I would just point out that that the Sifrei has a whole discussion, the Sifrei in Devarim has a whole discussion about it starts off with a discussion about domestic and what domestic really means, and then Rav Yossi ben Durmiskit says, what are you talking about? There's a place called domestic, and it's got a place called Chadrach, and there's reference to Chadrach, and he says, so what are you going to do, and what does it mean domestic? Whole discussion there. The upshot of the discussion is, so this whole discussion there based on the issue of Chadrach and domestic, and the upshot of it, that's where I was up to, the upshot of it is that the claim is made that Yerushalayim is not going to move from its place, it's going to be Yerushalayim. So mani makayim, what am I going to do with our pasuk here? Rachavam and asal lamala lamala letzalot. So the Sifrei says, Shatida Eretz Yisrael liot marchevet mikol tzadeha kiteina. Eretz is going to expand on all sides like a fig. Ushaarei Yerushalayim atedim liot magiim ad Damascus, and the gates of Yerushalayim will eventually reach Damascus. Now, this is a medrash, so I'm not saying it's a prediction of what's actually going to happen, and we'll see at the end of Yechezkel, there's reason to believe that that won't happen, because Damascus is pretty far, and the limits of Yerushalayim are going to be set, they're going to be huge, but they are set by Yechezkel. But it just highlights the issue here of whether and how much and to what extent all of these nevuot are to be taken in their literal sense, and this is a prediction of what needs to happen, or are these an outline of different possibilities of the way history can work and the way the future can work. So we'll have to leave that to be known when they reveal themselves. So there's a gova saviv saviv around. There's a raised pavement, is the way the JPS has it. Rashi notes that that we don't know how big this gova is. It's the JPS understands it to be that it's 6 amot high. Melo kakene 6 amot atzila. So Rashi says, yeah, we don't know how. Rashi seems to think that we don't know how high it was, so he understands, I think, Maloha Kanesh Shemot Atzila might be how wide it was, how long, how much room there was to walk on it. But in any case, the Rashi thinks, more points out, the Masech HaMidot, it says it was 100 Amot Al-Rum Mea Amah. It was 100 Amot high, which sounds very, very high. Okay, so that's the way Rashi has it. Rocha Vakir Asher Latzila El HaKutz Chamesh Amot Vasher Munach Beit Tzlaot Asher Labayit. So the width of the wall, the outer wall, was 5 amot thick, and it's got Beit Tzla'ot Asher Labayit, and it serves as a walkway between the Tzla'ot Asher Labayit, between these side walls, right? And Rashi points out, because the Ta'im did not surround the entire Bayit, and therefore in the open spaces you had the Ta'im opening up into this area, and that was where you could walk from one to the other, so you had this kind of a space to do that with. So You've got the Heichal, you've got the Azariah, then you've got the Taim on the sides of everything. The Taim have a walkway around them, as the models, if you've ever seen models of the Beit HaMikdash, show. Pasuk Yud, Uvein HaLeshachot, Rocha, V'Esrim HaMas, Saviv LaBayit, Saviv, Saviv. And then between the Leshachot, there was 20 Amot around the whole Bayit. And Rashi points out that this wasn't true in Bayit Sheni. It may be true in the future Bayit. So, something to keep track of. And let me say here, just as we struggle through all of this, part of the issue here is if it's going to be true that you don't have to keep directly or strictly to what's written here, then what's the point of writing it here? So the point A could be comfort, as I've said. Another point could be that this might be a model that you want to build off of, but then you might want to adapt. So a full understanding of what's going on here would be an understanding not only of what is said would happen, but why it was said would happen, what the function of each thing was, and then it's possible that there would be room in some instances to adapt and to understand and to adopt things from one to the other if we have a full understanding of them, and that would have to be done carefully and conservatively, but there might be room to do that. So they're interested in the side chambers on this walkway, right? And one was, and then there was an interest on the north side, an interest on the south side, and it was 5 amot all the way around, right? Chamish amot saviv saviv. והבניין אשר על פני הגזרה עד דרך הים רוחב 70 אמה וקיר הבניין 5 אמות רוחב סביב סביב וערכו 90 אמה. So now there's a binyan, there's a structure, it's not the heichal, it's a structure on the, and the JPS has it on the vacant space at the western end, right? There's the western side of all of this, there's an empty space, and there's a binyan there, there's a structure there that is 70 amma wide, and it's got a 5 amot thick wall. And it was Tishim Amma, so it was 70, whatever, sorry, it was Tishim Amma long, which we would call wide, because of the way that it's set up, and it's 70 amot deep, and it's got these thick walls. We don't know how high it was. Oh, and Madal Labayit Orech Mea Amma V'Gizra V'Binya V'Kirotea Orech Amea Amma. So then if you take the whole structure, Rashi points out that this is talking about Sachakol Imeshach Beit HaKhalifa with all of the various substructures. So then it's going to be 100 amot and then the depth of the empty space and the gizra and its walls also comes to 100 amot. So all it's 100 amot by 100 amot, as we said before. And then the front side, like on the east, was also 100 amot. And then if you measure the width of it facing the back, including its ta'im, so that's also 100 amah. And then when you go into the heichal and the ulam next to the heichal and the sipim v'chalanot ha'tumot v'atikim saviv l'shloshtam neged asaf sechif eitz saviv saviv, and they've got this sort of a wooden wainscoting, a ledging all around the aretz ha'chalanot v'chalanot mechusot, and there was a window frame, and around the frames of those windows you have this covering al me'al ha'petach v'arabayit ha'pnimi v'lachutz v'et kol ha'kir saviv saviv v'apnimi v'chitzon midot, and then extending above the openings and the heichal and all over the walls and everywhere there's a pattern, and it's the decorations vasui kruvim v'timorim, and it's made of kruvim, sort of cherubs, which is angel-like figures, what we call angel-like figures, and images of palm trees, v'timorah ben kruv lakruv v'shnayim panim lakruv, each kruv has two faces, and there's a palm tree between every two kruvim, v'fnei adam ala timorah mipo, v'fnei kefir ala timorah mipo, and the two faces are p'nei adam and p'nei kefir, a young lion, and it's facing on one side. You've got a lion facing the palm tree. On the other side, you have a human facing palm tree. Now, Suyo Kolabayat Saviv Saviv, and this decoration is all around the Beit HaMikdash. So, of course, there's a symbolism here, whatever it would be. You'd have to think about it. You have to compare it to the Merkava that Yechezkel saw earlier, way back in Perek Aleph, where you had faces, four faces to the Merkava. And here we have two faces drawn already within the Heichal, from the land from the ground until above the doorway, you've got these kruvim, v'timorim, and you've got these kruvim and timorim. And then you have Kir Haichal, the wall of the Haichal, Haichal Mezuzat Rivu'a Ufnei HaKodesh Amareh Kamareh. It has four doorposts, and then before the Kodesh HaKodeshim, there was something that looked like this. There was an image, and not an image like as in a picture, but an image as in... So JPS has it as something, an image... Not an image, something resembling, and it continues on to the next pasuk. Pasuk of Bet Hamizbeach Eitz Shalosh Amot Gavoa VeArko Shtayim Amot UMikzotav Lo VeArko VeKirotav Eitz VeDeberei Zeh Shulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem, and that is something looking like a mizbeach because it says the mizbeach, and it's three amot high and it's two amot long, and it's got amot mikzot. It's got inner corners, and then it's length, and its walls are made of wood. And the pasuk ends with the figure who is demonstrating all of this to Yechezkel. And notice, by and large, this has all been done mostly in silence, and then occasionally he breaks the silence to make a point. So these points come to have greater significance. And he says to him, "Zeh Hashulchan L'Shem Lifnei Hashem." This is the table that is before Hashem. So the problem is, as a Radak notes, this Mizbeach is not similar to the one that Moshe did, not similar to the one that Shlomo made, and not similar to the one that Bnei HaGolah made in the second Beit HaMikdash. He says maybe it's the Mizbeach HaPnimi Sheasa Moshe Shel Zahav, and it calls it Zeh HaShulchan, he calls it Mizbeach HaShulchan. So it's unclear because the measurements are wrong. So that's what Kamar'eh, like a Mizbeach. And then one of the questions that comes up in Yechezkel even more later on, here he's describing a heichal we've never seen, but it's unclear what the halachot of finding a heichal like that are. But a problem will come up later on when he sees halachot, or he describes halachot that we don't know of and that we don't know of happening. So this is a first example, or an example of that, where you have a description of a mizbeach that's unlike anything we know. But aside from that, you have the question of why it would be referred to as a mizbeach, and then later referred to as a shulchan, and the Radak reports or mentions what the Gemara in Brachot says. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both agree that based on this, that they say Kol Zman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam Mizbeach Mechaper Al Yisrael Ve'Achshav Shulchano Shel Adam Mechaper Al, that when the Beit HaMikdash is standing, the Mizbeach provides Kapara, and now that there's no more Mizbeach, so then a person's table can provide Kapara. How does the table provide Kapara? So the Mishnah in Avot offers one option, one possibility, and that is that by telling Divrei Torah over the Shulchan, over your own table at a meal, you turn it into a Mizbeach. And that's the Mishnah in Avot, that's Rabbi Shimon Omer, that when three people eat together at a Shulchan and they don't say Divrei Torah, then it's like it's idol worship. And if they do Divrei Torah, then it becomes like a Mizbeach and they ate Korbanot. So the suggestion there, or the implication there, would be that the function of the Mizbeach, now it's odd that this is the Mizbeach HaPnimi that we're talking about, because usually it would be the Mizbeach HaChitzon you would think of. That's where most of the Korbanot were offered and burned, and there was actual food. But here's the Mizbeach HaPnimi, where by and large there was only Ketorah, there was a couple of times a year there was Dam, there was blood thrown on that Mizbeach. By and large it was just Ketorah, but the point being that it's Lifnei Hashem. I think the argument would be that in the absence of an actual Mizbeach, the experience of people joining together and uniting around Torah and Torah ideas becomes an example of the same kind of a purpose, the same kind of a function as the Mizbeach was supposed to fulfill. So here in this inner chamber, Yechezkel is shown the Mizbeach and is taught this lesson. And considering the troubles that I'm having with describing the future Beit HaMikdash and with these Nevuot, so it would be interesting if this is part of showing Yechezkel that within all of these Nevuot, the functions of these items are ones that might be able to be fulfilled in other ways as well, and that would be Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lifnei Hashem, telling him that yes, you're seeing the Mizbeach, this is what it looks like in this presentation, but in the absence of this, there are reasonably similar substitutes. Pasuk of Gimel Ushtayim Delatot LaYechal VaLaKodesh, and there's a double door for the Echal and the Kodesh. Ushtayim Delatot LaDelatot Shtayim Musabot Delatot Shtayim LaDelat Echad Ushtay Delatot LaAcheret. right? It's like it seems to be a double door, each of which has swinging parts to it. Meaning each of the parts of the door, there are doors to the doors. Latot, ladot, latot. So it would seem like either a double door, and or meaning the top part can move separate from the bottom part. Rashi says there were shtei zugot delatot, two inside and two outside, and then the outer ones are open to the inside, and the inner ones are open to the outside, and they would open that way. That is two sets of doors, but something along those lines. V'asuya alehen el datot ha'echal kiruvim v'timurim, and then they're made there on the doors of the halls. There were carvings of timurim and kiruvim like outside. Kasher asim makirot va'av eitzel pnei ha'olam ha'mehachutz, and there was av eitz. There was wood, a thickness of wood, a design of wood in front of the ulam. V'chalonim atumot v'timorim mipo, and then there are windows. So atumot, they think atumot means with frames, but Rashi before has said, JPS thinks that, Rashi before has said that atumot means that these windows open up not into anything else. They were just there for decoration, and they weren't actual windows. I just pointed on the av eitz on the lattice work, on the woodwork. So the Radak points out that there was some of this in the Bayit of Shlomo, where it says within the walls there were cut down cedar woods that were in kind of a design. And then he quotes the Rashi, points out that in Midot it seems like these might be support beams across the top to make sure that the Bayit doesn't shake or doesn't have a problem. And that's another possibility. And then you have the designs of the palm trees on either side. And then you have this all throughout. You have also on the side of this, you have side chambers, and you have perhaps that wooden crossbeam going across to those as well throughout all of this work. So I will stick to my desire and hope to be at least more brief today. It is a picture, the beginnings of a picture, of what a Bayit can look like. There will be one or two more chapters on the structure of the Beit HaMikdash, and then we'll get into issues of how it will function and how it will work in the future and how it will be dedicated and things like that. And that will have more, it'll be easier, because of predictions about the way human beings handle it rather than about structural issues and architectural issues that are really only best done visually and by consulting models and a design. So we'll bid you adieu for today, and the next chapter will be chapter 42. We will continue trying to build some kind of a mental picture of what this Beit HaMikdash in the vision of Yechezkel looked like. Have a great day.